Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Check out the new Donegal Portland Leisurewear range online and in-store at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Very good evening. Welcome along to the Score programme. On tonight's show, we'll be looking ahead to the FEA Cup Northwest Derby between Finn Harps and Derry City. We'll be joined by Declan Boyle, Ollie Horgan and Rory Higgins. Tyrone are chasing a double at Croke Park on Saturday with the Red Hand Miners and Seniors in action at GA headquarters. We'll speak to Tyrone broadcaster and journalist Paddy Hunter. Plus, Brendan Harvey-McDade will look ahead to this coming Sunday's Donegal Half Marathon. But first, Highland Radio Sport understands the Donegal CCC will meet tonight to deal with the objection lodged by beaten county finalist Kilcare. As we know, Niamh Connell made it back-to-back titles by taking a fifth crown, beating Kilcare on penalties. The first time ever the county final was decided on spot kicks. In the days after the game, Kilcare lodged an appeal on the basis that the winners took on four substitutes during the 2 10-minute periods of extra time, whereas the rules permit just three. If the decision goes in favour of Kilcare, Niamh Connell could be fined, forced to play a replay or subsequently lose the game. On to soccer. Finn Harps and Derry City will clash once again on Friday, but this time it's for a place in the quarterfinals of the FAI Cup. Harps made history at the start of the season by beating Derry for the very first time at the Brandywell, and a win this week would also be new territory for the Ballybuffet side, who have never beaten their rivals in the Senior Cup competition. Highlands Finn Harps match analyst Declan Boyle feels that statistic could change this weekend.
There's a great excitement about this game, Declan, particularly when Harps are going into the tie off the back of two excellent results and probably the most impressive performance of the season against Pats last time out.
Yeah, very impressive performance against St Pats. I thought from start to finish they were very good, even though Tony scored his first goal, and then St Pat's kind of scored straight away from a penalty spot, which I thought was a soft penalty against Barry McNamee. But even from that bit of a setback, they pushed on from there and were very good throughout the whole 90 minutes. And Tundee Olavi scored as good as a hat-trick as I've seen in Finn Park in a long time, and his overall performance just terrorised St Pat's defence. And considering that St Pat's and Stephen O'Donnell changed his back four or five different times just to try to counteract Tundee, that shows you how good he was. And if he can replicate that sort of form on Friday night, he'll cause a lot of problems with Derry City back four or five even.
Yeah. And at times, of course, Harps have struggled to take victories against Derry City. But already they laid down a marker in the first part of the year, Declan, where they won for the very first time in the club's history at the Brandywell. They'll take confidence from that. They're going to take confidence from the recent run as well. This is not a game that Harps are going to be shying away from.
Absolutely, and even in the 2-1 victory for Derry City and Finn Park early in the season, where Will Patchin scored from a penalty spot and a free kick, I thought Derry City were lucky to get out of there with 3 points, because the Harps performance was excellent on the night again and probably deserved to get something out of the game, if not 3 points. So yeah, listen, there's no doubt about it. Harps are in really good form, and the last results have been excellent. Obviously getting 3-1s on the bounce really helps. This is obviously a week where they don't have to concentrate on the leagues, on the cups, an opportunity to get into the quarterfinals. Potentially as well, with some of the other teams that are left in the draw, you could get a nice soft considering draw in the quarterfinals as well. So it's a big match for both clubs, and it's an opportunity to get into the last stages. And I suppose Derry will be looking for the same as well. Their overall performances have been very good. An excellent performance in Sligo, with Ronan Boyce popping up and scoring a great goal just to get 3 points from them. So Rory Higgins has them really playing to a high level. They're getting results. So both teams coming on in good form. So it's just going to be who performs the best on the night. And I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah. How important is a cup run to both of these sides, Declan? Obviously, Harps' priority is staying in the top flight. Would there be maybe a quiet hope in the background of silverware coming on the cup front to Ballybuffet? Well, you flip it over to the other side, to the Brandywell and into Derry City. There's always an expectation there around the Brandywell of winning silverware.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose in the Derry City side, they'd be looking to, with the squad they have and players-wise, they'd be looking to push on and get to the elite stages, or maybe to the semi-final and final. You know, what we know, obviously, with Shamrock Rovers playing Bowes, and there's one of the big teams going to be knocked out of there. Dundalk are still left in the competition, and it has been between Dundalk and Shamrock Rovers in the last couple of years, but we know how the form of Dundalk hasn't been too convincing this year. So there's an opportunity for one club, and potentially Derry City, where we'll be looking to maybe push on and get to the latter stages or into the final. And then once you're in the final, you have an opportunity to get in silverware. So Derry City will be totally focused potentially on that, but they'll be taking it one game at a time, and they know how hard a match they will be in Finn Park on Friday night. On the Harps perspective, we're probably looking at, I suppose, for me as a player, when I played, I was looking forward to these cup matches. It's, you know, your attention's away from the league. It's an opportunity to go out and perform against the teams around you. And it's a big match of Northwest Derby. As a player, you look forward to those matches all the time. Having the fans back in the stadium, there'll obviously be small crowd from Derry City there as well, and that'll add to the atmosphere. So it's a big match for the players. And I suppose Hearts will be looking to push on, and can we get into the semi-final? It's been a long time since we've been in the semi-final, and it'd be nice to be knocking the door, and be great for the club and supporters.
Yeah. But really, Ollie Horgan with his priorities for the year, Declan, would he have rather had a league game this weekend, maybe, so they could continue with that good form and keep the gap between themselves and the bottom two there, or increase it? Or would it be a welcome distraction from Ollie's point of view?
Yeah, listen, I suppose every manager is different, you know. I mean, in regards to their league form has been good. And, you know, they'd probably rather play a league match, particularly when things are going so well, and trying to keep adding on more points and trying to put a bit of distance between themselves and Waterford and Dundalk is down there as well. We know that Longford are probably the team that will end up getting relegated, as it looks at the minute. But so then you're looking at who's the team that will be in the playoffs. And you know, this year of all years, I think the first division is very competitive. You don't want to be in the playoff positions, because it will be very competitive, and you're playing against really good teams coming through and with a lot of confidence as well. So, yeah, listen, Ollie would probably look at maybe that he'd rather play a league match, but listen, it is what it is, and you've got to deal with it. And for me, the players, I think the management as well will look forward to playing Derry City. We know how good they are, but if they can produce the same sort of performance as they did against St. Pat's, there's no doubt about it, they can get something out of this game as regards a victory. But yeah, I think on the night as well, actually, it could go to semi-final, it could go to extra time and penalties potentially as well, if it goes on a level with the first round. So that'll obviously add a wee bit of excitement to it as well, and it might take to go into extra time or potentially penalties to separate both teams.
Could be a long night, but one thing getting into the game is, Harps aren't shy of goals, Declan. They've been fined in the net, and Big Tundee will be looking possibly for another one or two.
Yeah, listen, I mean, I suppose last week's performance, his performance was overall was brilliant, as good as performance I've seen at Finn Park in a long time. I showed great composure. Three goals were excellent finishes, and he has that pace. But we know that at times this season he's got opportunities and probably hasn't put them away. But last week his form and his, I suppose his strikes and finishing were of pure quality. So if he can produce that sort of form against Derry City. But listen, Derry City last week, they changed up a wee bit and they went five at the back. So that'll be interesting to see will they do the same in Finn Park. So, and on top of that too, Owen Toll is probably for me one of the better centre halves in the league, and he'll be looking to keep Tundee as quiet as possible over the 90 minutes or into extra time. So yeah, that's an interesting game. A lot of ifs. Obviously, Derry as well, you know, that since the last time they played in Finn Park, they've added in Jamie McGonigal and also Junior, so they've got a real potent threat up top as well. So, yeah, listen, I do suspect there will be goals in the game, so it'll be interesting, and who can, concede the least amount of goals on the day will obviously win the game.
Yeah, just on a Derry point of view, Declan, earlier in the season we were talking about Derry staying out of the bottom two. It's amazing how things can turn around so quickly, and now they find themselves chasing a European spot. Maybe they would rather have a league game this weekend, but Rory Higgins has definitely turned things around. Even with the likes of Patching leaving the Brandywell, he's brought on a serious caliber of player into the team, so he has. And to be chasing a European spot so quickly after people talking about staying out of the bottom two has been fantastic for them.
Yeah, no, listen, hats off to him. You have to say that since he came into the club and he got those two big results straight away, he beat Sligo Rovers in the Showgrounds, and then he went up Dillymount and got 3 points up there. And he just from there, they just pushed on straight away. So you're off to a flying start. And sometimes new managers come in and you get a nice kick start from the new manager coming in, and then slowly it fades away. But it hasn't they've kept that momentum going. They're driving forward. I suppose they've closed that gap between Derry City now and Sligo Rovers. Take it that Sligo haven't won six, lost six games in the bounce in the league, so that gives them an opportunity to close in on that very important European spot. So they have the goal. They've added players. They've lost players as well. And Will Patchin, they scored a lot of goals. And they get six or seven goals for them. And he went back to Dundalk, you know. So they brought in Junior as well on top of that. And said Jamie McGonigal's come in as well. So they've added goals. And on top of that, he's come in and he secured the futures of some of their bright players, young lads coming through as well. And they've Paddy McElhenney lined up for next year. And I wouldn't be surprised if Duffy doesn't come with him from Dundalk as well. So they looked up to Valid a wee bit. They've extended the budget as well. So they're bringing better quality of players. So it's looking very rosy for Rory and Derry City going forward.
Just finally then, is this the best time maybe for Harps to meet Derry in a cup competition, given the run of form that they had, and possibly another big result could be in the cards in favour of the Finn Park boys?
Listen, we're very optimistic. I would think that we can produce the performance. That it will take a big performance similar to St Pat's one to get over the line. We know that, obviously, I think we played four times in the cup and Derry have beaten us on four occasions. But in the last while, to be fair to Ollie and his management team, they have got good results and positive results against Derry City in the last year or so. So, yeah, listen, all goes for a really looking forward to a big match, exciting match, plenty of goals, hopefully plenty of entertainment, hopefully no red cards, but we're looking for a big match. But, yeah, if Harps can perform to the level they had against St Pat's, they've got a real chance of getting through this big tie in North West Derby.
Once again, full live match commentary on Highland on Friday night from the Cup Derby. It's Harps against Derry. Kickoff is at 8 o'clock on Highland's coverage in association with BNS Credit Union Main Street in Balbuffet. Check them out at bnscu.ie. Declan Boy, we look forward to what we hope will be a cracking derby. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Oisin.
Well, it was announced earlier today that game between Harps and Derry is now sold out. Admission is by ticket only and attendance capacity cannot be increased due to the maximum attendance permitted due to public health restrictions. That total, of course, is 800 spectators with a small allocation going to the away fans. Finn Harps have said today tickets or cash admissions will not be allowed on the night and those away fans are asked to not travel to the match without a ticket. Well, having picked up that first one at the Brandywell earlier in the season and running Derry close several times since, Harps, of course, will be full of confidence ahead of the tie off the back of four wins on the bounce. Derry are in a similar situation. They've been on a great run of late as well. Harps look set to be without Kosovar Siddiqui and Shane McElhinney, and boss Ollie Horgan says they will have to repeat their match-winning performance last time out against St Patrick's Athletic to be in with a chance this week of progressing in the cup.
You know, obviously we're looking forward to it, as are Derry. I think the only disappointing part of the election is that we're limited to the number of supporters we can get in. I think it's whatever it is, 800 people we can get in. It's just a pity that we couldn't have a full house there with the game against Derry in a cup at home. You know, that's probably the only disappointing part of it, to put about it to you. But look, we're looking forward to it. Derry have been on a great run since Rory came in with Raf, and look, we'll have our work cut out on the pitch, but look, at least we can look forward to it on the basis that it is a cup game, and you know the league side of it is parked for another week anyway. Like.
But Ollie, in fairness, you've been on a great run yourselves over the last number of weeks, and in particular with that brilliant victory against St Pat's. So, just like Derry, you should begin into this game with confidence, Ollie.
Most certainly we will. Yeah, as they will. You know, obviously they've had a much better run of it through the months of June and July that we struggled big time. But we've recovered and hopefully we can continue to recover. But it'll take a similar performance to last weekend against Pats to get anything out of tomorrow. Look, we're hoping that we can continue in the level that we had last Friday and try and make it difficult for Derry, and be it extra time, be it further, whatever, to make a game of it and see what comes out of it.
Defensively, obviously, you'll be looking to keep the goals out, Ollie, in this cup tie. Your central defensive duo, Shane McElhinney and Kosovar Siddiqui, is this match too early for them? Can they feature on Friday night?
Probably not. To put this right, had it been a league game, maybe we might take a gamble on one of them, but the fact of it being a cup game, and with another obviously a huge game against Shamrock Rovers, the following Friday, it might have come a week or two too soon. But we'd see. We'd see, you know, we're training tonight and we'd see what happens and what extent that the injuries have recovered. But it's unlikely that they'll feature tomorrow.
Yeah. I'm going to throw a bit of a curveball at you, Ollie. You mentioned Shamrock Rovers there. Which game do you see as the most important? The cup game against Derry?
We can't pick and choose, Oisín. We don't have that strength and depth and strength in, you know, like Shamrock Rovers are, you know, they can chop and change. They're playing tonight in the Europa League. We're not that. We're nothing near that. And we can't pick and choose what games we want to win or want to get a result out of. And we'll go at tomorrow night with every, you know, hope of trying to get through that. If it gets us through, brilliant. If it doesn't, it doesn't, and then we pick up the pieces on Saturday and prepare for Shamrock Rovers. But look, it's just as I said to you a few minutes ago. It's a pity that we couldn't have had a full house for a game, you know, a cup game at home against Derry. That's probably the only disappointing part of it. But look, we'll go and see. Can we progress? And I'm sure Derry will have every confidence in progressing also.
Yeah. Would you welcome a cup run this season, Ollie?
You're welcome a cup run any year. I mean, we had a decent run last year where we got done in the quarter final at home to Shamrock Rovers. We've had some difficult draws in the previous years. We got drawn away to Shamrock Rovers in the first round, and the previous year again we got drawn away to Dundalk in the first round, and they were the cup holders and league champions at the time. Of course, you'd welcome it. I mean, you know, a couple of weeks ago we went to Fairview in Limerick and stumble over the line in extra time, but in hindsight, maybe it was a great victory for us, and the fact that we kicked on from it, and we need to try and kick on. We'd love to stay in the cup, don't get me wrong, but either way, whether we progress or not on Saturday morning, we'll be looking at Shamrock Rovers.
Yeah, and this, of course, isn't going to be the last meeting of used two sides in the season. There's still a couple of games to come after this, Ollie.
Yeah, I think we've got Derry in a fortnight as well in the Brandywell in the league, which you could view as being much more important to us in our bid to try and survive in the Premier Division. But we can't pick and choose, and we don't have enough, you know, to go and decide, well, we'll go all out for this one and not for the other. Should we do that, we're going to fall between two stools. So we'll take a cut off tomorrow and see where it gets us.
Just finally then, Ollie, what has been most impressive from your point of view in this latest run where Harps have picked up four ones on the bounce? What has pleased you about it all?
Well, I mean, someone asked me what has turned. I think basically just a few decisions and a little bit of rub the green has gone away. I mean, in Longford, you know, it was an own goal that got us 1-0 up, and prior to that, you know, there was decisions going against you. There was penalties given left, right and centre, and indeed including last Friday. But to be fair to the official last Friday, I don't think he booked anyone from on the pitch from either team that I remember, and indeed either dugout, which is it's a credit in the run of ways, you know, our recent weeks of ways things were going. But look, I think we've always been together, even when we struggled in June and July, and, you know, we are still together as a group, and long may that continue. It's just a little bit of rub of the green has gone away that maybe didn't in the previous months, and we needed to go away tomorrow night to have any hope of progressing.
There hasn't been too many derbies in the past that have gone without carriage, Ollie.
No, there hasn't yet, but I mean, you know, there was a game in Longford, Oisín, and I know this isn't really your line of questioning, but there was a game in Longford where there wasn't a bad tackle, and all and sundry on the pitch and off the pitch ended up getting yellow cards and worse. And, you know, it's not about the referees, and it's not about the fourth officials, and it's not about me or Paul Higgerty. It's about the players on the pitch. And thankfully, last Friday, while I complain about the penalty decision, I don't think anybody was booked in a game. There was plenty of tackles in it. There was nothing sinister in any way, and I think that's the way that we hope that it'll continue.
Yeah, if Harps get a win on Friday and not be complaining, will you, Ollie?
No, absolutely not, Oisín, but we need a lot of things to go away, including referees' decisions for that to happen.
Okay, listen, good to talk to you. The best of luck at
the
weekend.
Care. Thanks, Oisín.
Harps boss Ollie Horgan. Well, Rory Higgins is expecting a tough evening in Ballybuffet tomorrow. The city boss knows only too well that these one-off games can come down to fine margins and feels that both sides will have a real go tomorrow night. He's expecting a frantic tie at Finn Park.
It's an evenly matched match. Two teams that are in good form and two teams that will be confident of going through. So I think it'll be an exciting game. I think it might be frantic in stages, but it's cup football and you don't get two bites of cherry, you only get one. So we'll have a go at it and see where it takes us.
It could be, if you say, one bite of the cherry. It's a case of, this could go the whole way to penalties.
Right, we've seen Andrada. Again, we were going into that game, I thought it was going to be an even match, and it turned out that way, and I don't think this will be much different. Obviously, I would like us to go through in 90 minutes, but if it takes 120 or penalties or whatever it may be, then we'll have to do it, and we'll be fully focused and do everything in our power to go through.
Your point of view too, it's a case of, you keep that momentum going. If you keep the run in the cup going, you can keep that momentum in the league. You know yourself, some sides have won out of the cup, of their season sort of drifted.
Aye, we're enjoying our football, and no matter what happens tomorrow night, hopefully we won. But no matter what happens, we've still got plenty to play for, and I think we're growing as a team, and we're finding different ways to win different games, which is very, very important. And I think particularly the young players are growing in confidence and belief as we go on. And I think going through this round of the cup would be huge for everybody.
What's the situation, Minnie? And you obviously, Cameron and James missed last week. What's the situation?
Aye. James will be available. It doesn't look like Cameron will be available, but James will.
Everybody else?
I think we're all good. Mark Walsh is long term still, so I think Mark's getting closer and he's getting stronger, so we might have Mark back within the next 5-6 weeks, we'll see. But as far as I'm aware, that James will be available for selection, Cameron possibly not.
Derry City manager Rory Higgins speaking with Kevin McLaughlin. Elsewhere on the local soccer front, the Ulster Senior League new season gets up and running this coming weekend with two matches in the League Cup. First out are Bunnaghy United as they take on the Ulster Senior League new boys, Monaghan United. That's in Group B on Saturday. It's down in Monaghan. It's kicking off at 2:00. And then on Sunday, the old rivals of Letterkenny Rovers and Cock Hill Celtic will meet in the Group A tie at 2:00 at Lakeview. And not forgetting, there is matches as well at junior level here in the Northwest this weekend. The Voodoo Venue Cup area matches are taking place on Saturday. Likewise, the Brian McCormick Cup area shield games across the four areas taking place on Sunday. And there's games as well in Inishowen in the Clubman Church League group stages and the Charlie O'Donnell Cup group stages, plus the opening round of fixtures in Division 2 of the league. So full programmes across Donegal and Inishowen at junior level this weekend as well. Well, it's a huge day at Croke Park for Tyrone GAA on Saturday, with the county involved in a doubleheader at GAA headquarters. First up are the Tyrone Miners, chasing a first All-Ireland title in 11 years when they take on Meath in this year's under-17 decider. That is followed by the much-talked-about COVID-delayed senior semi-final, with the Red Hands taking on Kerry for the right to play Mayo in the final. Today, I've been getting the feel from the county of Tyrone with GAA broadcaster and journalist Paddy Hunter.
It's funny because it's the second time we've had a doubleheader this season. Obviously, the hurlers were up in Croke Park for the weekend of the Ulster final. They were in the Nicky Racker Cup final. So that was a bit of a change that way, you know. So that was interesting on its own bat. But no, this is special. An All-Ireland minor final is brilliant to be in. And obviously, following on then with Tyrone and Kerry in the All-Ireland semi-final, is definitely very, very good. But there's not an awful big buzz on. You know, I was talking to a guy yesterday who sells flags of all things. He says he's loads of flags left. There's no wild buzz. He was in Mayo a couple of weeks ago. He says he's coming down with flags, coming down with bunting. I think people are maybe cautious going into this one.
Yeah. Well, we'll wait to see how the day is going to pan out. Tyrone, obviously, this last couple of weeks, they've been sending all the headlines, which I'm sure suits Kerry fine. So it does, Paddy, all based around COVID. According to the joint managers this week, everybody, all numbers are back and they're sort of going through pathways of returning. It hasn't been, fair to say, the best of preparation for an All-Ireland semi-final, Paddy, has it?
Absolutely not. I was talking to a few players. At the end of the day, if you're in Tyrone, you sort of know people and you'd be talking to players even off the record, but they're all thinking certain levels of return is going to be a problem. Not everybody's going to be 100% fit. That is a fact from day one. Nobody's going to be 100% fit going into this one, bar the players who avoided COVID. Some of the players were really badly hurt by COVID, both physically and mentally, because it is a knock-on effect. If you're running after coming out of COVID and you know, maybe take an extra breath, you think to yourself, oh no, is this long COVID? Is this... So they have a lot of problems that way. But I suppose the mentality of them is they're getting to Croke Park, talking to one player in particular yesterday, and he was delayed to be playing in an All-Ireland semi-final. And I think that the extra 2 weeks will have made a big impact to allow that. But it was never going to be fair to allow them to go to play on the 21st or indeed the previous week. It wouldn't have worked, Oisin. That's the reality of it. And you wouldn't wish that on any team. And Kerry, to be fair, being sportsmen as they are, wouldn't have wanted to go into an All-Ireland final without playing a game either. So that's going to be a big scenario. I don't think it's going to play a big part in the outcome. It's going to be a better team in the day.
And we won't actually know to see where Tyrone are until the start of the game, Paddy, because at this level at under-county football, when you miss several weeks of training, particularly when you come off the back of winning an Ulster final, that is going to have an impact. Sure it is.
There's no doubt about that, Oisin. You know, you can't stop a player. You've seen players who have maybe picked up an ankle injury or a thigh injury or whatever in an Ulster final and trying to play the 2 or 3 weeks later in an All-Ireland semi-final or a qualifier or whatever it would be, quarter-final, and they're not 100% fit. So imagine doubling that and having 20 players who were unavailable to do the full training sessions under Fergal and Brian and the management team. It's going to be very, very difficult for them to hit the ground running. And it will maybe take 10, 15 minutes for them to adjust as well, to get back into the rhythm of a game. And maybe by that time it could be out of your reach. So there's a worry. There's no doubt about that. But Tyrone are going there. They obviously shipped 6 goals in the National League game. I don't think that'll happen again. And I think, you know, it's going to be a closer game than some people expect. And a lot of people go back to 2003 and that big performance in the All-Ireland semi-final. Tyrone went there. Nobody gave them a chance either. So Tyrone are well used to being underdogs, Oisin.
Is the people of Tyrone giving them a chance, Paddy?
If you talk to football people, yeah. But the supporters are always, whoa, we're going to Croke Park. It's a big day out. But the reality is, you know what could happen. I think that's the worry, Oisin. You could be caught very, very easily on the day and suffer a bad beating. Look like the old days at Northern teams went down to Croke Park. It was a case of getting there. But even them days were different because you went to Croke Park probably knowing you weren't going to win, but you went for the day's crack. It was a big occasion. It's not even like that anymore. You know, you go with the expectation you want to win the game.
Yeah, but we're in strange times. We're still in the thick of a pandemic, Paddy, and we've seen what happened last week. The big Dublin run coming to an end. A winning result for Tyrone. Might be a strange one, might be seen as a strange one this weekend, but it's still possible.
Still possible, sure. There's no doubt in my mind that Tyrone have the players, they have the ability. And you just see the next crop of players coming through with the minors and just how good that particular group of players are. It's going to drive these other lads on. Talking to a couple of players this week, they've said that they're seeing the success of the minors and saying, look, we're not going to be around forever, but this next crop of players are coming through now, and they are a damn good bunch.
Yeah, speaking of that damn good bunch, as you put it, Paddy, they've been playing some spectacular football in the Championship. We've seen it against Donegal in the final in Ulster, and then we've seen it last week against a very, very good Cork side. This minor team, we won't know until the weekend on Saturday if they're going to be All-Ireland champions or not, but already they're talking up that this is one of the possibly the best minor teams that has been in Tyrone for quite a long time, Paddy.
I would have to agree. You had to roll back a few months to see how difficult this was for Jared Donnelly, because he committed a time when there was two minor teams. Colly Holmes and his minor still to finish off 2020, and he was delayed in getting his full panel together because of that. Obviously, there were players to come through, so that was difficult for him. But he got the players going. He worked very hard to get a good backroom team. Gary Hetherington, Conor Gormley, Kieran Gourlay, among them, Tommy Canavan, players of that, of quality themselves, who have brought something completely different to the management table for him. And they've worked really, really hard. But the difference in this minor team and other minor teams, they're a very good bunch. They're a very grounded bunch of individuals. The pandemic has had an effect on them, I'm sure, as young men, they'll be out partying and they get any normal young lad. But they've been very, very grounded. And you only have to talk to Cormac Devlin, the captain of the Saints. You only have to do that to see how laid back they are and how positive they are.
Yeah. And what I noticed about them was, Paddy, that they didn't panic in that Ulster minor final against Donegal. And you mentioned one guy there, young Devlin, who got the man of the match, comes from, as we all know, a good breed and good stock. So he does, Paddy. But he wasn't up until that final quarter when he was needed in the question. He wasn't really in the game. He kicked a lot of wide, so he did from frees. And then they didn't panic, Tyrone, which I was very impressed with. And another thing I was impressed with them by, Paddy, was the sheer physicality that they brought to the game and the conditioning of some of the players. Like, my God, that Rory McHugh guy in the middle of the field is a fantastic footballer, but the physique of the young man at that age going into an Ulster minor final was mind-blowing. And you've seen that not just with McHugh or Devlin, but a lot of other players as well, how well they had matured physically and their strength and conditioning. And obviously the hard work that they'd done themselves in the pandemic before they were allowed back, Paddy. It's you can see now that's taking them the miles that they need to get to an All-Ireland final.
Well, you look at the likes of the Donoughmore Club with seven representatives in the squad. Says a lot about Donoughmore's youth policy over the years. And then you mentioned Cormac Devlin and Conor Owens, two lads that got the goals against Donegal. They had been very quiet before that. 10-minute spell, boom, boom, two goals, that's the game over. And obviously last week against Cork, they missed a lot. Which you expect a manager after scoring 23 points in an All-Ireland semi-final to say that was brilliant or whatever. Immediately, Jared was saying, we've problems there. We didn't finish them off the way we could have finished them off. There's a ruthlessness about Tyrone, and he wants to see that coming through as well. I think we all do, but they're a special bunch even to talk to. You know, young Ronan Strain from my own club, Oma, there as well. Michael Rafferty from Killyclacher, just named two. Neil Robinson, the goalkeeper. They're very grounded. And you often see a minor team there, but there's always one to get the hair dyed or whatever. Not that mean you need the hair dyed now, but you know what I mean. But, you know, there's the hair dyed. There's a bit of, you know, flamboyance about them. There's none of that with this group of players. They're all very, very sensible when it comes to football. And maybe it has to do with the pandemic. I don't know. Or maybe it's Gerard Donnelly's management. He's brought a similar style to Esker Emmett's at club level. He's a Stewartstown club man. He's been managing Esker this year. They topped the table. Tyrone managed to through to an All-Ireland final. You know, there's something about his management that works.
Yeah.
And he's a very grounded young man himself.
Yeah, and there's something about the backroom team that he has as well. You know, they're all winners still there, Paddy. Conor Gorman, Kieran Gurley. Yeah, they just all rhyme off the tongues.
There, the t-shirt. Yeah. But there's one man there, you know, likes of Gary Hetherington. Very mild-mannered coach. People don't talk a lot about him, but he's brought an awful lot to the table as well. Tommy Canavan, strength and conditioning coach. And then you have loads of others behind the scenes. A great, strong physio team who Jared always talks about. And we have to mention, I'd be shocked for not yet, his daughter Grace, who's always at every match. She's only a wee tout, but she's always saying, I said there, how did Daddy do? Daddy done good. That's, you know, but he comes from a, but she, the his wife comes from a football family as well. Elaine, former Carrick board player, you know, so it's a very strong GA connection through the whole body of that group of players, management and everything. And it's coming to the fore now.
Yeah. What about the opposition? What do you know about Meath for the weekend, Paddy? What will they take to the table in Croke Park?
Well, they beat Dublin, obviously, in the Leinster final. They beat Louth in a semi-final. That was their two games only in Leinster. And obviously they beat Sligo last week. Eventually coming good in the latter stages and pushing on. I think it was maybe 5 or 6 points in the end of it. So they were strong, and they are a strong side. They have one or two very good individuals, I think. I don't know an awful lot about them. But, again, you can only look at from a Tyrone perspective what they have and the quality they have. I think they're unstoppable in terms of winning an All-Ireland. And I don't, you know, people talked about Cork being a big, physical, strong side, and all of a sudden they were brushed aside. The game was over by half-time. So it's a big weekend for Tyrone. Obviously, the Gaels are out on Saturday as well. Which is a very big disappointment, I have to say, Oisín, that the LGFA and the GA haven't worked together in terms of fixtures. That's a big thing, because you have Emma Brennan there, who's obviously Lee Brennan, Roy Brennan's sister, Megan Kerr, who's Matty Donnelly's girlfriend. You know, there's a lot of family connections in the both teams, and families have to be split up, and that's not a good thing. And there's no foresight in it. Last weekend, for example, Tyrone Camogie's side played Wicklow in the Nancy Murray Cup semi-final in a scheme. That game was at 5:30. Tyrone Liddings were playing, obviously, at 2 o'clock. Game went to extra time for Grainne Rafferty and Regan Fay, two big components of the hurling side, or the Camogie side, had to go and play Camogie as soon as that game was over. So there's an awful lot of not cross-thinking being done here, and it's a disappointment.
Paddy Hunter speaking to me earlier today, a big Saturday ahead for Tyrone. Let's move into club action, and the new hurling championship season starts in Derry tomorrow night, Friday, with games in Group A and B. Slochneil play Ball on the Screen. Kevin Lynch's are up against Lavey, and Swatra play Namaha. Here in Donegal, there's also senior championship games on Friday night. Satanta against Buncrana, and McCool's play Carndonagh. When the junior hurling championship, Dunlow are up against Airua. And football wise, there's just one Division 1 Round 8 game for tomorrow, Friday. Clohanilly against Kilcar. The match between Killybegs and Ardra has been postponed. And there's one outstanding game from the 2020 Donegal Football Championships. That's the Intermediate Championship Relegation Playoff. And it will take place at Parky Donal in Letterkenny, with Neve Columkill up against Neve Alton. And that one starts at 6:30 on Saturday evening. From the 2020 Championship to the 2021 Championship here in Donegal for the ladies. There's matches in the Senior, Intermediate and Junior A and Junior B Championships this coming Sunday afternoon. There's a full programme there. There's five teams involved in the Senior Championship. Two games, Termit play St Nolles, Buncrana up against Glenfinn. Mavill have a free this coming weekend. This year's Donegal Half Marathon takes place in Letterkenny on Sunday. It is a sellout, but race organisers are still seeking help of volunteers on the day. The race, which was held every year since 2014, was cancelled in 2020 because of COVID-19 restrictions. But a capped entry of 400 will see the event taking place this coming weekend. I've been speaking with the race director, Brendan Herbie-McDade, ahead of Sunday's much-anticipated race. He says it was easy to fill the entries towards the end.
It didn't end up, the entry has been open for, probably over a year, really. And the last number of months in, we had put a little bit of push, and we were restricted to that number of 400. We can have waves of 200 for any event. And once we put that message out there, it sold out fairly quickly.
Yeah. Obviously, a lot of interest in the event. And I know this week, before we look at the competitors, Brendan, I know this week you put a call out for volunteers and marshals and people to help out on Sunday morning.
Yeah, with the event that's in it and the many sort of junctions and the crowds that we'll have on the street, it's very important that safety is, you know, is maintained in it. Now, while we have a number of sort of loyal stewards that are there at nearly every event for us, for this particular one, we need a few extra. So we're working closely with the Donegal Volunteer Centre and, of course, with our own Letterkenny Athletic Club members. But again, if there's anybody out there like to help out at a water station or at a junction, even if it's only for 1 hour, we can allocate them to a certain point that'll sort of cater for that.
Yeah. Water stations can be important, particularly at this distance and given the heat we're having this week at the minute, Herbie.
Oh, it is, and like we always see now with half marathon anyway, we would normally have probably more than what's usual for a race. We have one sort of every 3 mile, and we have an extra one then in between out at the turn point at Rosheedock. Just again, with the way the weather's going to be on Sunday, I think it'll be needed. And then, of course, we always have a few marshals sort of up and down the course, just to make sure everybody is okay and feeling all right. And they, you know, will hand out any additional water in between stations if required.
Yeah. Were you worried at any stage along the way that COVID may have an impact on this again, Brendan?
Well, we were, of course. Early on, when we seen, you know, that events were starting up again, we thought, great, we're going to be okay. But then with the new Delta variant coming in and that sort of slowed things up again, you know, back to opening up. So it was always in the back of our head that, yeah, you know, it could go virtual again, which we didn't want to do because we had sort of put out a message early on that we were definitely going to have an actual event. And then with a bit of change in it that you could have waves of 200 at the event, you know, that sort of reinforces that we could cater for the 400. So we had ordered our 400 T-shirts and 400 medals, and once we sort of reached that number, then we had to close it down.
Yeah. This event has sort of evolved. It was, of course, the Donegal Marathon, and then you changed it then to the half marathon. Has there been any changes or alterations to the course since it was last held 2 years ago, Brendan? Maybe you'll take us around the route.
Yeah, no, there hasn't been many changes. In 2018, we made one little change because there were a lot of road works going on in the Pierce Road around where the Station House Hotel is. So now the race starts, all the registration and number collection, race pack and so on is going to be in the Royal Leisure Centre. And that's from Saturday from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. And we would ask as many locals as possible to come along on Saturday and collect their number and race pack, so as we're not too busy on the Sunday morning. But we'll also be open from 8 to 9 on Sunday morning for those who can't make it on the Saturday. The race then starts at Charles Kelly Building Suppliers, just on the Ballymacool Road, heading in towards Letterkenny, goes up the main street, turning right down Larrigan's Laneway, left along the Pierce Road, and turning right then down past Divers High Andy, straight through the roundabout at New Dunn's, onto the Polestar roundabout, taking a left in the Port Road, which is in past the LYIT, into the Station House roundabout, up the Port Road and down the main street, and then it heads back out again out to Ballymacool Road, past the start line, past Aura, straight through the roundabout at St Duran's, and then continues on out past the Town Park and Cornwall Graveyard, right out to the junction at Glenties, taking the left road for Glenties. And then we do a left turn at the second exit on that road back in towards Rock Hill. New Mills, first of all, of course, and then Rock Hill, which leads you into the bottom of the Old Town again, over the bridge of the Old Town, past the Old Dunn Stores, back out Ballymacool, and then the race goes in the little laneway at the back of Aura, right around the back of the building, and finishes with the 300 metres on the track.
Okay, very good. That's the route, that's the course, Brendan, but what about those that are competing? There's no more entries open. Who do we need to watch out for, and is there any form runners over events that we've had in the Northwest over the last couple of weeks heading into this?
It's difficult to know. Cairn McMullagall, who won it on a number of occasions, he actually won the marathon in the early stages and half marathon in later stages. I would say he would go in favourite. Also, you have Mark McPaul, who actually worked for the Kiernan Group that sponsored the event. He's been in good form recently, and I would say he would love to be thereabouts to take one of the prizes in it. And the women's end of it, just looking at the entry, Monica McGranahan is probably one of the leading runners in it. Now, of course, there is a number of entries from the north, and there's a few from the UK in that, and we're just not that sure what calibre of runner they're going to be. So on the day, we might get a few surprises.
Yeah, well, listen, we'll have to wait and see. Just one more call for the volunteers, Brendan. If they want to get involved, who do they contact?
They can contact any committee member or the Donegal Volunteer Centre. And then they'll be allocated a position. And just for the volunteers, as kindly donated by Optum, there's a polo shirt and a wee goodie bag that we send them on their way with before the event.
Very good. Okay. Listen, Brendan, thanks for talking to us and the best of luck on Sunday.
Thanks, Arjun.
Around 400 set to take part in the Donegal Half Marathon on Sunday. Hopefully they're going to get nice conditions for it early on a Sunday morning. Just a couple of other fixtures of note in the Northwest. Cricket-wise, Brigade following their All-Ireland T20 Championship victory. This coming weekend, they're playing in the Northwest Senior Cup semi-final against New Buildings. The winners will play Eglinton in the final. And St Johnstone are involved against Glendermot in the Samuel Jeffrey semi-final replay on Saturday as well, with the winner to go through to play Strabane in the final. And the new Ulster rugby season starts this weekend too. A couple of Northwest sides in Premiership 2 action, both on the road. City of Derry go to Ballymena and Oma are away to Dungannon. And that's it from the Score programme for tonight. I hope you enjoyed it. If you missed any of the show, you can, of course, recap by going to the sports section of HighlandRadio.com just shortly after 8 o'clock tonight. Until then, What's left of your Thursday? What's left of the sun? We'll be sticking around for about an hour or so. Enjoy it. Have a good one. Our next bulletin is tomorrow morning.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Cash for Clubs at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the new loyalty scheme that rewards your club every time you shop at michaelmurphysports.ie.